This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Record time here in the Derby at the top of the stretch, and it is Congaree who is full out. Here comes Monarchos under a heavy drive on the far outside. Invisible Ink is there. Point given, not today. 1 furlong left. Here comes Monarchos, who sweeps to the lead. He's pulling away by 2. He's pulling away by 3. Jorge Chavez and Monarchos have won the Kentucky Derby, and the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Tom Durkin with the call of the 2001 Run for the Roses. Monarchos joining Secretariat as the only horses ever to win the Kentucky Derby in under 2 minutes. Is it right or wrong to think we will see a third member of that club this year? Plus, which of Wayne Lucas's 4 Derby wins should we consider to be his greatest training feat? And what do Dale and Tim see as the most compelling storyline in this year's Kentucky Derby? We'll talk about those topics and much, much more straight ahead on a Derby Day edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business, and all starting just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, before we kick things off on this edition of I Ask, They Answer, guys, I just want to give a shout-out to Amy Lawyer, who is the department chair for the Equine Industry Program at the University of Louisville, the longtime sponsor of this segment. I caught up with Amy, had a wonderful chat with her on the backside of Churchill Downs the other morning, and they have some incredible things planned for their students coming up, and I would highly recommend to anybody who is considering maybe making a career in the industry or being part of that program to give them a call, to go to their website, and check it all out, because there are going to be some incredible opportunities for students coming up later this year and going into next year at the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. All right, topic number one. Kick it off this way. We are celebrating the 150th Kentucky Derby this year, so I thought it would be appropriate to begin the show by looking back on a few significant anniversaries. And today marks the 67-year anniversary of the late Hall of Fame jockey Bill Shoemaker's infamous misjudgment of the finish line in the Kentucky Derby. That was on May 4th, 1957, when Shoemaker stood up in the irons prematurely aboard Gallant Man, who lost by a nose to Iron Liege. And it was also on this day in 1968 that Dancer's Image became the first horse to be disqualified from the Kentucky Derby after testing positive for an illegal medication, giving Forward Pass the victory that year. So, guys, I'll begin the show this way. I'll ask each of you to recall some of your more, or the more, bizarre occurrences in Kentucky Derby history. Dale, what comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that pops into mind is Ali Sheba when he came off the turn and ran into the horse in front of him. Tell me the horse's name he bumped into.
Bet Twice,
right, and almost went down. Two great horses, by the way. He almost fell, and McCarron almost came off of him. He told me later in life that it was self-preservation that kept him on. And he straightened up and went on to win. Of course, everybody knows what a great racehorse Ali Sheba went on to be. But I think that was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in a race for a horse to overcome what he did and still win the race.
Because it would have been tragic. It could have been possibly really tragic if that horse would have went down.
It could have been really bad. Yeah.
What
I mean, if Fleet Alex did it, Fleet Alex did about the same thing, but that was in the Preakness and fell. But for the Derby, that was just unbelievable. Ali Sheba, what a performance he put on.
It certainly was. I have a couple of them that I guess you'd call it bizarre, and they're both fairly recent. I mean, 2020, the year of the COVID, when there were no fans at all at Churchill Downs for the running of the race, which was held in September because of COVID, and Authentic beat the favored Tis the Law. It was just eerie to hear. You know, everyone's used to the roar of the crowd and the when the horses turned into the stretch, and there was none of that. And, you know, what made it even more bizarre was the Derby wasn't even the first leg of the Triple Crown that year, because the Belmont was held in June at a mile and an eighth, and Tis the Law won that. And a lot of people were thinking he was going to win the Triple Crown, but Authentic got him. I mean, that was just and Tis the Law also won the Travers before the Derby. So that was a bizarre year. And also in 2019, when Maximum Security looked like he was going to go 5 for 5 by winning the Derby, he won the race by a length and three quarters, but then the inquiry sign came out and there was a 23-minute delay. As you know, I remember running around down there, going to the box where the Wests were in, the owner, Gary and Mary West of the Maximum Security. They didn't know what was going on. I remember being with Bill Mott, who was trained Country House, who finished second, who eventually became the winner of the race at 65-1. It was just a really weird setting when you had a horse being DQ'd from the Derby. I know it had happened before, but the horse that finished under the line first was DQ'd for you know, he caused the traffic problems with and Royal Will almost went down. That was a really weird, bizarre circumstance, and just being around there for the whole 23 minutes while the inquiry was going on was wild.
Yeah, I'll go back. We were doing the broadcast of that race, Timmy, on radio in partnership with NBC, and oh my goodness, trying to describe to people what was going on as that was taking place, and it was a chaotic scene down below, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah, it was. They took the flowers away. The blanket of flowers away from. I think the Wests were on their way over to the infield, and you know, it was just nobody knew what was going on. I think a lot of people were saying there's no way they're going to take a horse down to the Kentucky Derby. But Bill Mott, you know, as savvy as he is, you know, the longer it went on, because I remember standing behind him as he was watching a TV monitor right off of the path going out to the track. And he knew there was – he had a pretty good idea it was going to happen. But just the fact that going through the emotions of both camps was very interesting to observe.
Yeah. I'll give you two more bizarre occurrences. Mind That Bird and Rich Strike.
Yeah, those were bizarre.
Bizarre results anyways, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean Chip Woolley, the on the crutches after with Mind That Bird. I remember being out in the barns that week, and I remember walking past his barn, and no one was talking to him. No one. I mean, every time I went by there, the guy was just standing there on his crutches. Who would have thought that he was going to win the Kentucky Derby? No one did, because no one talked to him all week.
Yeah, wild. There have been so many incredible moments. And here's another one for you. Let's move on to this next topic. It was on this day in 1996 that the legendary Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas tallied the third of his four Derby victories, thanks to this stretch running performance.
Unbridled Stone, Cavendish on the inside, out in the middle of the track. Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavendish on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Again, too tight to call. Was it Cavendish on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Dave Johnson with that call 28 years ago for the coach, Dwayne Lucas. His four Derby wins place him in a tie for second all time with the late Derby Dick Thompson. Which of Lucas's Derby wins, guys, should we consider to be his greatest training feat? Was it Winning Colors? Was it Thunder Gulch, Grindstone, or Charismatic? Tim, what do you think?
I'm going Charismatic all day. That's the horse that Wayne Lucas had so much confidence. He never, ever wavered in his confidence. He knew there was talent in there, even when it took the horse six starts to break his maiden. And then, you know, he was in his three-year-old year, he started, it was in a claiming race. And, you know, it wasn't until a fourth place finish in the Santa Anita Derby that Wayne was thinking, well, I still know there's something in there. I'm going to send him to the Lexington, see if I can get the rate of stakes earnings to get into the Derby. He won the Lexington at 12-1, and then he went into the Derby and he won it for the Lewises and Chris Antley, and you know it was just a masterful training job. And the thing about Wayne is he loves it when no one gives him a chance. That's when he shines. And he did the same thing with Thunder Gulch, which I still can't figure out how he went off at 24-1. This is a horse that won the Florida Derby and the Fountain of Youth, and because he finished fourth in the Bluegrass as a favorite, he was dismissed in the Derby. That's a mistake to do with the coach.
Always a mistake to leave him out. You know, that is great with Charismatic. And I'll tell you, for a year after that, he won the Derby. Every month you run into somebody that said they had a claim slip filled out for him in Santa Anita and tore it up. So everybody was going to claim him. Nobody did. He ran for $62,000 out there. Someone could have bought a Derby winner for $62,000. But I think running to Philly and going wire to wire is his greatest feat. And it's pretty that was pretty incredible. And, again, it's Wayne. It's Wayne. Wayne was untouchable, and you couldn't question any decisions he made. And he had the backbone to step up and put the Philly in the Kentucky Derby, and it paid off for him. There's only been three fillies in 150 years, 149 runnings that have won the Kentucky Derby, and one of them is Wayne Lucas. I think that has to be his most historic.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you, Dale. And, Timmy, I can't disagree with you either on Charismatic, but winning colors, his first Derby win, coming from the quarter horse side of things, getting her to beat the boys at a mile and a quarter. I know she had beaten them in the Santa Anita Derby too, but Dale, I think it's always hard to get that first one under your belt, and seeing him do it with Winning Colors is pretty special.
No doubt.
Yep, no doubt. All right, moving on. It is time to welcome our good friend Nick Zito to the program, and Dale and Tim get to tell me if the following statements are right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, here you go. Three topics for you this week. Fierceness will lead every step of the way en route to winning this year's Kentucky Derby. Tim Wilkin, is that right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
I think that's wrong. I think fierceness has a great chance to win the Derby, but I'm not convinced he's going to be at the lead right from the jump. Johnny Velasquez and he are going to break from post 16, not 17. And, you know, there are other speed horses that'll be to the left of him that are signed up. Horses like, Dornock and Track Phantom. Track Phantom, I think, is going to go putting the blinkers on. And Just a Touch. I think Fierceness will be right close, but I don't think he'll be on the lead. But I think it, at the eighth pole, he could very well could be.
Yep. Dale, what do you think?
I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think that it's that he's going to set off the unrealistic pace going down the front side for the first time. I think he sits in the catbird seat. I don't think he has to have a lead. I think as long as he's in the clear, I think Dornock has to go out of the one hole, send hard. I think a couple of those will be sent in. I think they'll go super fast. He'll wait third or fourth and inherit the lead around the far turn. And if he's good enough, he'll keep right on going.
All right, number two. 1 year after missing out on last year's Kentucky Derby, after being wrongly suspended and eventually cleared of any wrongdoing, trainer Safi Joseph Jr. will get the ultimate last word and win this year's Kentucky Derby with Catalytic. Is that right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Dale, what do you think?
I think you're wrong. I don't think he wins. I think he's a nice horse and he's training well. I just don't – I think it's – said all along, I think it's a two-horse race. But, no, I think you're wrong on this one.
I think you're wrong as well. I mean, he got into this race because he finished second in the Florida Derby behind Fierceness, 13.5 lengths behind Fierceness. And, listening to what Safi's been saying all week, it's not like he's going in there thinking he's loaded for bear. He knows that he has a lot of lengths he has to make up. I think he mentioned something, I'm paraphrasing here, said he said we'd have to be like a Mind That Bird or a Rich Strike. He knows crazy results happen in the Derby, but I think it would even shock him if he were to win this race.
Yeah, he's got to make up a lot of ground on Fierceness and everybody else. We'll see if he can pull it off. One more for you. 51 years ago tomorrow, the Great Secretariat became the first horse to win the Kentucky Derby with a final running time under 2 minutes. Monarcos joined him in 2001. If I were to say there will be a third name in this illustrious category after this year's Derby, would I be right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Tim?
I'm going to strike three times in a row and say wrong. You know, that's rarefied air that we're talking, you know, what Secretariat did. And Monarcos, God bless him, what he did. But I don't think anyone ever expected that that was going to happen with Monarcos. And, you know, since he did that, the closest anyone has come to that is Asenic in 2020 when he ran 2 minutes and three. So I would be shocked. And as good as fierceness is, you know, and what he's done, I don't know if he's going to run a hole through the wind like Secretariat and Monarcos did. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, it's easy to say it's 249, so it's easy to say no to this. If someone does it, it'll be a freak performance from Pearson, and he'll crush the field. But that's the only one I see in there that has the talent to get that kind of time. The track is fast, though. On Wednesday, they set a track record going a mile and a half, broke it by a second. The track's fast. But we're also looking at some weather coming in, so there'll be some moisture in the racetrack. I don't see it happening this year.
Now, all those questions and more are going to be answered shortly before 7 o'clock Eastern. We'll welcome Nick Zito back to the program for Right or Wrong next Saturday morning with a Derby recap edition of this show. Guys, a couple more topics to get to, and one of those comes from a listener. I will bring that one your way shortly. But the next topic, rank these storylines 1 through 5 in order of which one is the most compelling, one being the most compelling. Jockey Keith Asmussen wins the Derby in his first attempt. His Hall of Fame father, Steve Asmussen, gets his first Derby win with his 26th starter. Trainer Larry DeMeritt wins with West Saratoga. Veteran trainer Ken McPeak wins his first Derby with Mystic Dan. And Japan breaks through for their first Derby win. Which of those five strikes you as the most compelling? Tim?
Oh, man, they're all good stories. I mean, if I had to rank them, I'd put Larry DeMeritt. I'm butchering the name, aren't I?
DeMeritt.
How do you pronounce DeMeritt? You know, he's been fighting cancer for like 28 years. Guy from Bahamas, he's like in his 70s. West Saratoga's only his second graded stakes horse that he's ever had in his career. I mean, the Derby will be his 15th start of the year. I mean, trainers like Asmussen have 15 starters in one day at tracks across the country. So I think that would be the first one. And if I had to go rank the other ones, I'd put Kenny McPeak second, Steve Asmussen third, Keith Asmussen fourth. I mean, he's a first-time jockey. There's been 44 jockeys in the history of the Kentucky Derby that have won it on their first mount. Only three, though, since 2000. And then I'm putting the Japanese thing at the end because they still got to show me they can do it. They haven't shown me they can do it on this thing, and it's a tough ship. So if they do it, God bless them. But that's my fifth. That's number five for me.
I don't think I'll rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I'll give you what my biggest storyline would be. Keith Asmussen winning the Kentucky Derby before his father. I mean, everybody thinks there's a Derby with Asmussen's name on it. How many of us thought it would be Keith? And not only in that story is also Wayne Lucas coming back at 89 years old and winning his fifth Kentucky Derby. I think that storyline is the most compelling of the whole week, and I'm cheering for Wayne and Keith. It'd be great to see you. We had a question last night at dinner. Who do you think mom's cheering for? Her husband or her son? And I'm going to tell you this.
A dead heat.
Yeah. And which would make Steve happier? Steve's a great father, loves his kids. Which would make him happier, winning himself or seeing his son in the winner's circle with the legend?
Adele, it's interesting you bring up that side of it because Keith Asmussen was on this program with me last week, and I asked him that question about potentially denying his father his first Derby win if Keith were to somehow win the race. And he said, you know, he said, I can tell you that my dad will be just as happy, maybe even happier for me, as he would be if he were to win the race.
I think he's telling the truth. I believe that 100%. I know Steve well, and I believe that 100%.
Yep.
Well, Dale, if you were to win the Derby and Jake, your son, had a jockey in the race and he won it, who would you be more happy for? Who would you be rooting for?
No, that's a little different. If he was a jockey, though, I think I'd have to root for him. Jockey agent, a little different. He's got a lot of time to do it. Keith's got a short window of opportunities. But if he was the rider, I think I'd be more happy for my son. Yeah.
Yep. One of the great storylines associated with this year's Derby, and there are several, and that certainly is right at the top of the list. Okay, one more question before I'm going to ask you both for your selections and maybe a four-horse superfecta box that people can play in this year's Kentucky Derby. But let's go to this one. It is submitted via email by Jeff in Morgantown, West Virginia. And Jeff is an art teacher, and he wants to know, he's getting ready to teach his students a lesson, and he always uses some type of horse racing lesson around this time of year, around Derby time. And he's preparing for this one. The Rules of Jockey Silks is what it's called. He found a website that listed some of the rules that owners have to abide by when they're applying for their silks with the jockey club. And it says navy blue is not an available color. And the reason for this rule is that navy blue looks too much like black from a distance. Well, Sierra Leone silks, if you look at the program, are all navy blue and a navy blue cap. So his question for you guys, he wants to know, how did the owners of Sierra Leone get their navy blue silks approved by the jockey club? Dale, what do you think? How'd it happen?
Well, first of all, those rules only apply for horses racing in New York. I don't know in the old days if they applied for around the country, but there's a lot of rules. The size of chevrons on the sleeve, the number of chevrons on the sleeve, the number of bars on the actual shirt, whatever's in front has to be on back. And those rules only apply these days when you're racing at NARA, not even in New York, Finger Lakes, you can wear whatever you want. So they're all obsolete anyway, and I don't even think they're looked at that hard anymore. And the reason they always the rule you're talking about, they couldn't distinguish between navy blue and black. The rest of the rules are that they didn't want to keep people, you know, have duplicate silks. And all those old families up there had their silks, and they were proud of them. And that was their colors and only theirs, and nobody else could apply. So just like the black shirt with the cherry red cap for the Phippses. I mean, it's iconic. But those rules kind of have all gone to the wayside over the years.
Yeah, it's my understanding, too, that rule, I don't know what website our listener was looking at when he found that, but I do think that rule, it's my understanding, is no longer a rule. It's an outdated rule. So maybe that website that Jeff was on hadn't been updated or was listing rules that were previously in place. But, Dale, correct me if I'm wrong, that is no longer the case, right?
Those rules are all pretty obsolete, and that rule probably is off the table, too, the blue.
Okay. All right, well, that clears it up. Jeff, appreciate the question. If you have a question for Dale and Tim, especially a question pertaining to this year's Kentucky Derby or Kentucky Oaks, whatever it might be, submit them to us, and we will work those in to next week's show. All right, here we go. One final topic, and this is it, guys. It's time to give me your winner of Kentucky Derby 150 and the four horses that you think can finish 1, 2, 3, 4 in some order. That doesn't have to be exact order. Tim, why don't you kick it off? Who's your winner, and who are your top four?
Well, I want to preface this by saying I hate picking the favorite. I hate doing that. I always try to beat the favorite. But I just think Fierce is too tough for these. I think he's your most likely winner. And if I'm going to fill out a superfecta, I'm going to use Resilience, the Wood Memorial winner. I'm going to use Sierra Leone. And I think I'm going to also use Track Phantom. So that's my four.
I got to go Fierceness, too. Fierceness over Sierra Leone. And Wayne Lucas in third. And Louisiana Derby winner with Brad Cox in fourth.
Catching Freedom.
Catching Freedom. Yep. All right. I'm going to take Resilience. I like Resilience. I like the way he's been training. I liked his win in the Wood Memorial. I'm going to take him in a little bit of a upset. I think Sierra Leone needs to be in your top four. Honor Marie has been training exceptionally well. I think Honor Marie can be in the mix. And if I'm going to go with a fourth one, maybe Domestic Product for Chad Brown, a horse that was running really well late and got up to win the Tampa Bay Derby. So give me that horse to kick into my trifectas, too.
Good pick.
We'll see how it all plays out right before 7 o'clock Eastern, guys. All right, time for your West Point of the Week as we wrap up the show. This segment presented every week by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. Remember that owning a racehorse with West Point Thoroughbreds means you are in the care of complete professionals who guide you throughout your ownership journey. You'll get instant access to the highest levels of racing, world-class trainers, jockeys, racetracks, and, of course, your horse. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Tim, what is your West Point of the week?
I want to make a shout-out to a horse named Next. On Wednesday, he won the Isaac Murphy Marathon at Churchill by 11 and a quarter lengths. That's his third straight win, dating back to last year, with combined lengths of 48. Combined lengths of winning 48 lengths. I mean, this is a gray six-year-old, and the marathoners don't get a lot of publicity or notice, but Doug Collins has done a great job with him. And supposedly we're going to see him next at the Suburban at Saratoga on June 8th. So keep on running, Next. You run forever.
Love it. Dale?
I'd say it's the greatest day of the year. Everybody go out and have fun. Let's have a safe Kentucky Derby day.
Amen to that. Like Christmas with horses, I say it every year. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby, guys. We're going to do this all over again next week.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. If you have a question or a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim discuss, simply email it to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, or post it on our social media pages, and we'll get that worked into the program for you. I Ask the Answer is presented every week by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.